Hello. Every time it's a little different. Mm-hmm. Every day is the same.
No.
And welcome to the Cubicorn Games podcast.
Woo!
My name is Dustin Morbido. Another small episode, just the two of us today. I am joined by Lorraine Ferriulo, sitting across from me.
Yep.
Fiddling with her iPod in 2015.
Exactly.
Everyone's got an iPod in 2015.
Totes bra.
That's how technology works.
Yep. It's been an interesting, like, past couple weeks, because, mm-hmm. like, so it was about 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, we're a week late, sort of. Like, we would have had an episode last week, but the holiday didn't permit it. We just couldn't get stuff together.
2 weeks ago, I got sick, was sick for the duration of the week, started getting better, got Dustin sick on the weekend, so all of last week, he was recovered.
Mm-hmm. Still a little tiny bit stuffed up, but I'm feeling okay now. I was real runny. The nose was flowing freely there for a while.
Yeah, let me tell you, it was just every single trash can was half Kleenexes, if mm-hmm. not more.
Yeah, so it might have been for the best anyway. It would have been a real sniffly, like, hour or two of internet radio.
I wasn't 100% last weekend anyway, and it was just we went up with my family on the 4th, and we were considering recording something, and then the two people that we had thought about having on with us up there, just it didn't work out because of all the other stuff we were doing.
Schedules did not permit.
Yep. And then we were in transit on a day we would normally record something if we didn't do it on the weekend, and then it just... We're here now.
Back in the saddle.
Yeah.
Sort of. We're still working on it.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll get back to it, I think, in August, like, more. Yeah. So I'm not positive what's going on, like, we want to talk about any other just, like, kind of stuff we've been doing in general. I mean, we've been working hard on game stuff, mm-hmm. but other than that, like, just, like, the day-to-day life, like I said, we...
Well, I've been getting deeper and deeper into wedding planning. That's been exciting. I know I've said this to a few people already, but building a wedding registry basically feels like putting together a Kickstarter campaign. I feel about the same amount of just kind of nervous tension,
mm-hmm.
but I honestly don't feel as stressed out as I did earlier this year, probably because this is just like a culturally accepted thing, mm-hmm. at least in like America. Like, oh, just... Put everything you want on there. Like, people want to give you stuff. Whereas, like, asking people for money for the Kickstarter was just kind of like, what?
Yeah, and I feel like
everyone's like, oh, we want to just... which is great. Like, oh, I'm all for that. But it's still just kind of like, I feel like we're putting together... I'm having, like, war flashbacks of mm-hmm. the...
Because I think I mentioned it in one of those episodes, like, in March-ish or whatever, right when we had finished up or we're just about to, like, hit the finish line on Kickstarter stuff. But, like... The registry stuff, I feel, like, way worse about. I don't know, I just don't...
A little bit,
because it's not, like, the Kickstarter stuff is just, like, help us do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create something, and, like, if you could help us out, that would be rad.
We're doing the exact same thing. They're helping us do a thing.
But, like,
we're creating
not for ourselves, like,
I mean,
the Kickstarter thing is kind of both. Like, obviously, well, it's a thing we want, but, like, the hope is that, you know, we'll finish some games and get them out mm-hmm. there, and they'll at least make a handful of people happy. Like... Mm-hmm. We're doing something for ourselves and for other people. Getting married is not, like, it's not a hard thing to do in terms of, like, anyone can do it.
Technically.
And it's not for anyone but the two people getting married.
But.
Like, it's a selfish act.
But. The people you invite and your family and such supposedly love you enough to help you, to want to help you succeed.
Sure.
Which is the basis behind... All the crap I've been doing recently.
Sure. I guess it just depends on what lens you look at it mm-hmm. through. Because on some level, it's just like, give me this.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the part that's kind of been just like, I don't like... I've put some of the stuff on there because it's like, yeah, we need this. And mm-hmm. yeah, we kind of have to fill this out. But it's still...
Yeah, that's the part where it's weird. Because if it was even just like... If you just had a box or something, like a graduation board mm-hmm. or was like or something like that, or it was just like, hey, if you want to like give us a card or a couple bucks or something.
That is going to be there, too. There is going to be a box
for cards. I understand that.
Trust me. Trust me, there will be.
I understand that, but like making this specifically tailored list of like, I want these exact things
know,
and you guys
I
should
know,
get
I know,
all
I
this
know.
Stuff because I want it.
I'm doing it, too.
I know.
Eh.
Anyway.
It's been exciting.
Mm-hmm. Life's weird.
I would have mentioned this on our last podcast, but we were so into E3 and being the only female there, no one probably would have cared. But I already got my dress. And I love it. It needs some altering, but I'm excited. I got my maid of honor to cry a little bit. She was tearing up a bit.
You're funny.
The ever-wonderful Natalie Judd.
Mm-hmm. It's still a big milestone. Are you feeling it?
A little bit.
Because you're not... that's cool. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But it's just like... And like, from my perspective and anybody who knows you well, it's mm-hmm. like, you're not the... You're definitely not the prissy, like...
But, I mean, because you... I'm not going to show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really going to super describe it. But it is not... It is, as I've been told, a very me dress.
Okay,
it's not elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not strapless because I hate strapless. And I think I look good in it. People have said I look good in it.
I'm just going to assume that you do.
Okay. You'll see.
But my give point was that months. Like you're not much of a dress wearer anyway, no. if given the choice.
But the dresses I do have and will wear, I like. I wear what I like.
Good to know.
And I see it every day because it is hanging in my room.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has to be hung up.
Yeah.
And, well, technically it's under a bed sheet just to keep, like, dust and stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, like, looking at it directly, but it's there.
Sure.
Because it's on my closet right across from my bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just a constant reminder, which isn't bad. Yep. I'm excited.
That's good. Yeah, it'll be fun. Like, it'll be good, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Overall, I'm still, like, I feel like that's always going to be this way. And I think for me, kind of always has been. Mm-hmm. It's just like the whole process is more of a hassle to me than like,
a thing to be. You're not wrong.
I'm stoked about marrying you, but I'm not stoked about getting married. Like, I would just be, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
I would still be just as happy like going and signing a thing and filing it and then like having that be it.
I know. I would still probably be just as fine with that because I'm more interested in actually marrying you than like, getting married, like the whole like big ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still excited about the whole big ordeal.
Sure. And part of it's because the other stuff we're doing together. It's mm-hmm. just like I like making like trying to make games and just like,
and also the way that things. I've been kind of tooling everything about the day, it's going to be more chill than most wedding and wedding receptions, which I want to be able to hang out with the people I want there.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been basically everyone that I've sent stuff out to, and I'm waiting for a final parental tally on the rest of the guests.
Mm-hmm.
Which better happen this week, because we're sending out shower invites. But...
That was the worst thing ever.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Oh, I don't know how much longer we can continue this. This is too...
I don't care. We so had a whole podcast about Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, I guess on some level, that's just as personal in a different way. So sure.
Three people listen to this who know, like, half of the people we're actually talking about. So it doesn't really matter.
Something like that.
And I've kind of talked to them about all of this nonsense anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
Beating a dead horse.
Oh, beating a dead horse.
We're getting married.
It'll be good.
Not to the dead horse.
I don't think that's allowed.
Probably not. Probably also not to a live horse, but.
Pretty sure that's frowned upon. Who could say?
Gravity Falls, you could marry a woodpecker.
You did it. Uh-huh. Yep.
We've been watching that's what's been again. Up in, like, it's been great.
I guess personal life stuff. Other than that, we've been working on game stuff. As always, things are coming along. Like, we're still pushing hard towards Maker Faire is our next big thing again. So that's going to be in 2 weeks. Well, from the time you hear this...
It's next week.
Would be, not the weekend. Mm-hmm. Not the weekend that you hear this, but the one after that.
25th, 26th.
You did it. I was going to look at the calendar, but then you July. Pulled the dates from your mind.
Yep.
Yep, so that's happening.
Henry Ford Museum, Dearborn, Michigan.
That's happening in Metro Detroit. If you're around for some reason, you could come hang out with us on one of those days, play some video games. See probably plenty of other cool stuff. There's always neat things to look at.
There is infinite stuff there to see. I can almost 100% guarantee there is something that will interest you in some capacity. Between the outdoor exhibits and the indoor.
Yeah, and
the museum itself. Excuse me.
When we were there for the like preliminary meeting or whatever, mm-hmm. like here's just kind of what we're going to try to do this year relative to the other ones. It seemed like they were swapping some stuff out a little bit.
Yeah.
So if you had been there like even in the past couple years, there might be more new things this year than there have been in a while, which is cool.
Probably still just as many 3D printers because people have 3D printers.
Something like that.
Which is still cool, but as they get kind of cheaper, like I don't know. It just kind of seems well,
like you said, it's more the critical mass than anything.
Yeah.
It's like when there were one or two there, that's pretty cool. Or even when there are different kinds of like, when they're not necessarily like the plastic extruders, yeah. Where it's the guys that like, here's a thing that does machining, mm-hmm. like a CNC 3D machine or whatever.
That do metal. That's
yeah, exactly.
Neat.
Or whatever. Or this one cuts wood or whatever. But when it's like
a 3D
whole.
Printer that cuts wood?
Well, it's not a printer, but I mean, it, you know what
like
I mean?
Like kind of cars.
It's like,
I don't
yeah,
think
it's a consumer level, like,
huh.
Yeah, like kind of
neat.
Computer controlled. Like woodworking device.
Neat.
But when it's like a whole row of like, here's like 10 or 11 people
slowly printing
cups. Who acquired a 3D printer and are making little plastic things like all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There's that can only be so interesting for so long.
Yeah.
Mm. Overall, it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's a good show. It's a good time. Lots of weird stuff. Lots of crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll be fun again.
I'm excited.
So you get that on the horizon. Next month, basically, sometime in August, we're going to be having our betas for sure for a handful of people who backed us on Kickstarter. Maybe a little wider. Like, I don't know if we're going to put downloads up. Like, I don't know. We'll think about it.
It depends. I think there needs to be a level of exclusivity for the people who did back that.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, later on, maybe. I don't know.
Obviously, like, early access beta.
Mm-hmm. This is how we make this business decisions. We talk about them on the podcast.
Yeah.
A day or two before they're due.
Yeah.
It'll be good either way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely.
Don't worry, people who backed us.
Yeah, we'll be emailing backers probably before or near the end of this month or the very big, let's say by the first week of August, we'll be sending more emails out to people about, like, other reward levels that involved, like, some of the creative stuff or whatever.
Probably most specifically the creative stuff.
Yep. As we come, like, as we close in on, like, basically rounding out the last half of the year. Stuff's been good. It's always time-consuming. It's a lot of stuff to do, but...
If you saw that latest Kickstarter update, there are now 4 of the 5 planned bosses for Down the Drain.
Mm-hmm. Cucumber, new levels coming along.
Yep.
New boss fight in the works. At least some of that stuff will be at Maker Faire. Definitely new levels.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that boss fight will be done by then, but
yeah, we've been dealing with just other facets of the games themselves.
A lot of back end stuff still,
yeah.
Like filling out, and now for multi platform purposes, just like some of the like making sure that all the stuff we've built works on every system or whatever,
as robustly and user or developer friendly
sure
as possible. Hopefully we can continue to move forward with this process that we have in place. It seems to be working now.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Fingers crossed we can keep going forward like this.
Mm-hmm. At Maker Faire we'll also be showing off one of the console versions of the game for the games for the first time. I figured we'll probably do one in like one day of each on the actual console.
That's
hardware
what I thought.
Like one day Cucumber, one day Down the Drain. So Nintendo, and when we met with them at GDC, they basically clued us in on a cool program that they have where they'll essentially, if you're part of their developer program and you like go to events and demo your games, you can put in a request for what are essentially like the retail demo kits. They're basically like the consoles that they have at GameStops and stuff.
Yeah. Or at their other, like at a GDC or
Indie. Yeah, exactly. Where it's not like
PAX.
A out of the box, like regular retail Wii U, but it's basically that.
It looks like it.
With essentially
got,
like a tethered gamepad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are some slight differences, like internally. So yeah, we got a hold of them and they sent us one of those, which is super cool that we're going to be borrowing for a few weeks. And we'll be demoing the Wii U version of Super Cucumber and Down the Drain.
Boop.
At Maker Faire. And alongside the PC version, I'm assuming, too.
Yeah, I'm assuming we would have both.
Yeah, we'll have both running at all times, and like I said, probably just switch the platform on the second day or whatever. It'll be good stuff.
Woo.
Anything else, like, housekeeping-wise, for as far as what we've been doing?
I mean, nothing super interesting, unless we want to get into what we've been currently viewing while working on stuff. Like, I have personally now seen all of Dragon Ball Z, not in its original run order, basically it was all over the place. It was randomly at World Games because of a special feature on that Blu-ray set. Mm-hmm. And then Cell Games through the end, and then Saiyan and Frieza. And I'm almost still glad we watched in that order, because I'm not sure if I could have sat through Frieza right at the beginning. That was terrible. my God, nothing happened that entire season. Mm-hmm. It was dumb. I needed more of the Ginyu Force, though. I will say that. That was a good time. I have finally started watching Game of Thrones. We've had that on multiple days in the background while working on various things.
Mm-hmm.
On some level, not dissimilar to Dragon Ball Z.
A little bit.
Except it's grosser.
Yeah.
Like, it neuter. Has...
Neuter.
I mean, I guess that's true, too. Some Goku butt.
Yeah, Dragon Ball. And, what's his name? Saw Raccoon's butt quite frequently.
Sure. But yeah, I mean, like, the core of, like... If you boil it down to its essence, it's ultimately just a soap opera.
A little
like,
bit.
Like, that part is kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like you said...
There's dragons.
Game of Thrones has more nudity and more, like, gorish violence.
More Peter Dinklage.
More I'm confident that Game of Thrones has 100% more Peter Dinklage than Dragon Ball Z.
Which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they'll pull him in when they dub Dragon Ball Super. Peter Dinklage as, I don't know, some Dragon Ball Z character.
Nah.
Krillin. The easy one.
That would be pretty funny. Like, his voice on Krillin, I don't think it would fit at all.
Yep.
But it would be hysterical.
You have to make it to, like, Comic-Con or something one year and heckle Peter Dinklage until he says Destructo Disc and then... Use it as a ringtone or something. Say Kamehameha.
But you have to say it right, which is like dragging out.
Say it for 15 minutes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. Look what you did. We're talking about Dragon Ball Z again.
I know. It's unfortunate.
Why did you allow that to occur?
I'm sorry.
You started it.
Yeah, I did.
I was ready to move on.
I can talk about Digimon, though.
Well, that's much better.
Yeah.
Totally different.
It is totally different, actually.
Something like that.
It is. I recently... started trying out Crunchyroll, which is pretty great. I've been enjoying it. Their selection is, it's not as diverse as I feel like it could be. It's catering to a very specific group of people, which is fine. There's stuff on there I would watch, but I finally got around to finishing Sword Art Online because I was horribly curious. It gets rapier, which was more, like, it basically took it to 1,000, which was kind of unfortunate because I still think the beginning part of that show, while they're actually in Sword Art Online, is pretty cool. I enjoyed it. I did that. I gave the 6th season of Digimon another shot, which I definitely should have because it was great. I loved it. So much fun. It's actually, the dub is still running right now, like coming out with new episodes, which I did not know. I thought it was done. It came out a few years ago in Japan. It's great. I love it. I get to play that game.
Whatever, Digimon, something.
Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth. It's getting localized.
Sure. That sounds plausible.
I'm so excited. Sounds like a
thing, maybe.
I
believe
you. I'm so excited. And I can play it on my Vita. That's all that matters. I have to wait till next year, but that's fine.
It's a contender. Like, what's the last Vita game? Maybe it's that. Who knows?
It won't matter how much space I have on my Vita memory card after that. I doubt there will be many more things.
Yep, that'll be the game that locks it down.
No, I'll probably just
store it on your Vita card for all eternity.
I'll probably buy more random PlayStation games or something like that. PS1.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm assuming if they keep, and I don't actually know what their schedule, like if they've kind of been still putting PS1 games and stuff on PSN on the regular, I honestly have no idea.
There's so many on there anyway that I'm sure there is something
there.
There
is quite a library
at
this point. I'll play PS1 games, like, digitally on your other PlayStation consoles. There are a lot of them you can do that with at this point.
That's 4, cool. Technically, right? Get them on PSP. Technically, 3, yeah. Vita, mm-hmm. and 4.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Look at all that.
4 is the one that I'm the least sure of, but they can play PS1 games, right?
There are some, but I don't think they have access to all of the ones that are like available to PSP, Vita, and 3.
Sure.
I think they share a pool, but I think stuff has to be ported slightly different, because I know the libraries aren't exactly the same.
That makes sense. That's kind of how I felt that it was.
I think that's why they use the PC version of 7.
Oh, right.
As opposed to just literally porting it like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it has something to do with that, like, non-backwards compatibility, like, thing.
Yeah,
because, I mean, it's already on the PS3.
Architecture or whatever. Who can say?
And on, like, everything else. Final Fantasy 7. Play 9. It's better.
Indeed.
I missed the Splatfest. I'm pretty sad. Mm-hmm. There's another one on the 17th.
Still liking Splatoon, though.
Yep. I finally reached 20. It took a while.
Indeed.
But I did it.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
How many guns, like, how deep are you in gun unlocks? Not that you necessarily use them all anyway.
I have most of them unlocked, aside from some of the ones, because I haven't finished the story stuff. Because you get blueprints for every boss you defeat, mm-hmm. for, like, an alternate version of one of the guns. I have not been buying half of them, because I was saving my money for a while, and I still kind of am to add more slots to equipment. But I'm close to having most things, I think.
Very cool.
There was one match where literally everyone else dropped or something or got kicked. It was just me and this one other guy on my team, and we just like went wild and just covered literally almost everything, but we couldn't get up near like the other team's base because they're like, it was salt spray rig and those are like elevated, so you can't actually get up there from the ground. But it was really funny. We won by a lot.
Indeed.
But near the end we had run out of places to ink. It's true, everything was like blue or whatever color we were. We couldn't reach
total coverage
because we couldn't reach their base.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't get everything. If it was like the skate park or almost literally anywhere else, we probably would have come really, really close.
Sure. Splatoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still a cool thing.
Yep.
Unique, fun, inviting little game.
It's fun. It's Nintendo. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yep. Speaking of Nintendo, and just roll in. It's like, might this is well. Kind of all I got.
Go for it.
It has been absorbed in my mind since the end of yesterday. Right? When
Doug dropped that on us.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I like... So we were eating pizza. This was
after
Sunday.
After a day of DBZ tournament.
Something like that. Not important.
Not important.
We'd been kind of busy the whole afternoon. And then we went out to get pizza in the evening. And one of our friends who's been on here many times before, Douglas Spry. I don't know if he had a Google alert, if he was just screwing around, or somebody texted him or something. But he let everybody know that Satoru Iwata passed away.
Extremely unfortunate.
Yeah, and it was like a bummer then, but like, I don't know, it was just such an out of the blue thing that I didn't register
really
for me until
tired,
like today, basically.
And hungry.
But I mean, after like about 24 hours to absorb that or whatever, I don't know, it's bringing me down a little bit.
Definitely,
it's definitely a bummer.
Especially since you like, it's really hard to fathom. The past few years, he's almost kind of solely been seen as like the president,
mm-hmm.
but he's been like knee deep in like development for so long.
Mm-hmm. And I had not known that like in the GameCube era, mm-hmm. but I feel like after like the Wii, like after the DS like came out, and then like a little later, obviously the Wii came out and stuff. There was just more like people kind of talked about his background more, or maybe mm-hmm. I just started to see that stuff a little more personally. I don't really remember which. Mm. The fact that he was at Nintendo almost as long as Miyamoto was.
Close to it, I think.
I guess not literally at Nintendo, but working with them in some capacity. Because when they founded HAL or whatever, they were doing some kind of work with Nintendo pretty much the entire time that company's been around. Because Miyamoto was like the late 70s, right? I think.
Probably.
Obviously not making games there, but like doing something at Nintendo.
He was like, because his like dad got him the job or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, and I think Iwata started. With HAL in like 83
or something
close to there.
I think that's close, yeah.
Very close to there. But yeah, he has had a storied history of mm-hmm. like, but the kind of behind the scenes history, like especially
for
the era, like people didn't talk about who it was that made the games then, and kind of for Japanese games at the time.
They even used like fake names.
Yeah, they explicitly didn't credit people for like anti-headhunting purposes.
Yeah.
They didn't want people to get scalped or whatever, and pulled away to like rival companies or whatnot, but... Yeah, he worked on a lot of stuff. Did a bunch of work on Earthbound.
Yep. Well, HAL, and like he helped with like Creatures Inc., which is what like I think
previously
that's close to that might actually be Shigeo Satoi Toy's company. It was
Creatures?
I think so.
Because
he's a part
Ape
of it.
Was the company
Ape became
that,
Creatures?
Right, that became Creatures Inc. And they're the guys credited as making Earthbound or whatever. But
and also helped on. Red and Blue's development, and
sure.
probably I'm not exactly sure how long they helped with Pokemon, or if they are, they might even still be.
Yeah, I think he just like did a lot of sprinkling in on like that seemed like Iwata's role specifically in like his programming days was sprinkling in a lot like on a little projects that needed a little bit of help or boost or something, because they mentioned like in some of the other stuff I was pouring over.
Yeah.
Before I started, we started doing this. Mm-hmm. It was just like I think one of the things that you said was he worked on the compression and.
Yeah, he made Kanto accessible in Gold and Silver, effectively. Like, that was his doing.
Mm-hmm. He basically wrote, in Pokemon Stadium.
He was able to, he almost single-handedly translated the battle system from Red and Blue to Stadium.
Right, in like a week or something.
Something like that.
It was a ludicrous amount of time as well on top of
madness.
He did, and then one of the things we had also just watched before doing this, we had checked out his GDC 2005 keynote.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read, I think, I'm assuming that was the first place he mentioned it, but then I had read about this as well, that even after he transitioned to, like, to Nintendo in, like, a managerial role, mm-hmm. up to, like, the very early GameCube era, he was still, like, kind of fucking around with code a little bit. Like, he was bug fixing on Melee before it came out.
Yeah.
Like, that's and insane.
Even, yeah, even, like, the original Smash Brothers. On top of doing
his real, like, his quote-unquote real job of, like, the day-to-day stuff mm-hmm. he was doing at Nintendo at that point.
I think
he was, like, moonlighting at HAL.
I think he said he assigned himself to it.
Something like so that. So
it just sounds like he's just trying to, like, get around, like, corporate nonsense and just kind of like, I want to do this. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
He's adorable.
Yeah, it's a real, like, it's a bummer for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll try to make a list of them. Like, we'll just try to keep talking stuff out. But it's just, like, it's a little bit of a haze to me still, just, mm-hmm. like, thinking of what that company's will be with his absence.
Yeah, because he was, like, the face, like...
Yeah, and he was, like...
All of those directs, all of his short little, like, Iwata-esque stuff, like, he was really, like, part of the image.
And when he took over, too, he was the... Like, he was in charge in a way that, like, I would guess he probably had more scrutiny than anyone who had taken the wheel, like, previously, but he also, at
well,
some level, you have a...
Well, he was the first one outside of the...
The Yamauchi family.
That one, yeah. Like, to actually be the president.
Yeah. So
ever
the, so, yeah, essentially the first person not... For, in 100 years, from 1889, I believe, is when Nintendo was making trading cards or whatever.
And love hotels.
Was that their early business? Like, how early? Like, 1800s early? That's not right.
Probably not. But okay. That is part of their history.
Sure. That part, I believe.
It's funny. They did a little bit of everything before video games.
Mm-hmm. The cool fist-punching thing or whatever. The
Griller hand or whatever that thing was called.
I don't remember.
I almost got that off of Club Nintendo just because
it had... Oh, that stupid app? Digital one?
Just because it had been on there for so long, and it was going away, and I never
Desktop
got it.
Desktop backgrounds?
No, they actually got rid of those.
Oh man!
And like, you know, they were
bummer.
They were screensavers. They weren't backgrounds.
Sure, flying toasters.
Even
flying
worse.
Mario's.
I think they were just images. They might have just been like slideshows or something.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Sure, but I mean, yeah, there was a lot of him, especially in terms of modern Nintendo. Like, he was essentially the driving force behind the philosophies of like the DS and the Wii. Which, if financials are the thing that are most important to you, like, that's the Nintendo's peak. Like, Nintendo has never, like, been a bigger deal or made more money than basically the era that he shepherded.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously stuff's been a little different with the Wii U, but if you take his total reign of something like 12 years or whatever as the president, most of it was, like, all of it was interesting. Like,
mm-hmm.
they were always doing weird
sure.
stuff regardless. And most of it was, like, super profitable and, like, pretty freaking creative.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, something to be said for... He's one of the only executives that I can think of who was legitimately promoted from within. Like, he wasn't...
Yeah, definitely.
He came up from,
There was no nepotism.
He came up from the programming ranks. Yeah, exactly. And, like, he knew the business, like, from the production side up, not from, like, the management side down. He wasn't, like, a business major who just would have taken a job at any company and was looking to make money... Mm-hmm. Regardless of how you were going to do it. Like, I don't care if I'm selling hamburgers or, like, pickup trucks or fertilizer. I want more dollars this quarter than last quarter. Mm-hmm. That's the goal that I'm trying to achieve, regardless of the product.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he very much seemed like a dude, like, who was earnest when he mm-hmm. said, like, you know, the games come first. Like, we're not trying to make money at the expense of quality. Like, we're going to try to make money because the things we are making are so good that they demand that people purchase them.
Well, the one quote that I had seen many times between, like, yesterday and today, and then also what he opened his keynote with was, on my business card, it says, like, CEO president. In my mind, I'm a game developer. In my heart, I'm a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and, like, he was, like, he had also mentioned later, like, when he was talking about, like, what he got a calculator and made a, like, graphicsless baseball game in, like, high school or whatever. Went to do engineering, computer science, early computer science in college, and then joined HAL with, like, four other people
right
outside and was doing, like, literally everything
mm-hmm.
from the start.
Yeah, which kind of tells you something about his personality, too, mm-hmm. especially in those early days. Because his little anecdote there was that his father wasn't that pleased with him, yeah. like, joining a startup, basically. Because yeah. that's not the... Like, it's more the culture in the U.S. for sure, but in Japan,
that
like...
That's definitely not the Japanese
yeah,
thing
do.
Yeah,
you go to the biggest, most established thing that'll accept you.
And 9-to-5 it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, something like that.
There. Never leave, ever.
So, yeah, that must have taken, like, on top of everything else, that must have taken, like, both faith and guts in equal proportions.
And dedication.
Mm-hmm. And it must have been something that he wanted. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, like, you don't do that kind of... You don't join a small little startup thing or like that or whatever unless you're interested in...
Hear, hear.
Something like that. I mean, you have to care about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just seemed like a really, like, for a person who was an executive, he seems like the most earnest executive that I can,
and
I can
open
ever think
even.
Of.
There, he didn't have anything to hide. Like, not really.
Mm-hmm. And it's all about, like, actions always speak louder than words for all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the stuff that he did, like, in both the good and the bad times kind of spoke for that he had a general level of, like, caring and morality and like interest in doing the right thing when it came to running that company.
Because didn't he take cuts
yeah
his
every
salary?
Time they've had like a speed bump in the recent years, like when the 3DS first came out and it was like too expensive and it mm-hmm. didn't do that well, he took a pay cut. And the same thing like after in the immediate aftermath of the Wii U when mm-hmm. stuff was underperforming, he kind of did the same thing. He went to bat for I believe this was in the Wii U era where people were basically looking to just cut stuff. Like, they were like, look, if you can fire, like, you know, X number of people, like, we can be profitable this quarter regardless. Mm. And he kind of fought back against that, basically just defending employee morale.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he was basically saying, like, the equivalent of, like, the people we employ here are trying to make fun. Like, they're trying to make enjoyable experiences. And how can you, like,
how do you
wake up
that?
And get to your job every day and, like, have fun and try to make fun for other people when the thing that's foremost in your mind is like, am I going to be the next person? Like, yeah, exactly. Am I going to be in the next round of layoffs? Like, what am I even doing here? Like, you're...
Because now that I actually think about it, when I've heard so much relative in the past, like, few years or so of so many different companies just laying off hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever heard about that at Nintendo.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is that he, and I think this is true of Japanese, like, the Japanese corporate structure relative to the American one anyway. But he only made, like, at his peak, I think he made slightly less than $1 million a year.
Wow.
And yeah, and because one of those times he took a pay cut, it was from, like, around that much money to, like, 500 grand or
wow.
something. So, like, when you put that against, like, American, like, CEO salaries.
He's not a CEO in America.
Something like that. Yeah. But, I mean, he's operating on, like, that's still obviously, like, a wonderful amount of take-home pay
oh,
or
yeah.
whatever.
You're telling me.
Not even close to the levels of excess that we're talking with, like, these people who run American Fortune 500 companies
oh,
and
yeah.
get, like, you know, $20 million plus a year
mm-hmm.
and stock options and pay and all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even the same thing.
No.
But, I don't know. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
Because mm-hmm. that vision, like, and... Even look at reading back to some of the other, like some of his other design choices, even back when he was first starting out in like the late 80s or early 90s or whatever, mm-hmm. you can see that he was bringing those philosophies back into promoting ideas like the DS
mm-hmm.
And the Wii. Because basically, like, from what I understood about reading some stuff earlier and what I can recall, like, being exposed to in the past, mm-hmm. Kirby was essentially designed by him. Like, the gameplay structure was designed by Iwata. And then Sakurai kind of built, like, he made the character and kind of the personality of it.
They wanted to make an accessible platformer.
Yeah, exactly. The pitch was the same thing that he kind of has been repeating
toting,
since
yeah.
he was took the head of the company. He's like, we can get new people to play games, mm-hmm. and we can make games that can appeal to everyone.
Yeah.
And Kirby was, like, the on pen and paper, the design philosophy behind Kirby was, here's a game, you know, that's like, you know, Mario and... Mm-hmm. or Sonic or whatever, like the platformers of the day, but is more simplified so that simply more people can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Like, more people can have access to this.
A beginner's platform, if you will. Platformer.
Something like that. But I mean, that's a cool idea, mm-hmm. and it's something like, in that era, I really don't think people were thinking about.
No.
People were just like, I think the idea was either that, like, the current gaming crowd was enough to, you know,
sustain it.
Yeah, make your cash back or get more on a given arcade release
mm-hmm.
or, like, on
it
a big
matter.
Console games. like, on a big console game, or that, like, the industry would be, like, self-growing. Mm-hmm. That, like, you could make kind of anything and put it out there.
Someone would buy it.
You know, video games were new and, like, hot or whatever, mm-hmm. so that, like, the audience would naturally expand, as opposed to, like, trying to make an experience that would itself, like, be inviting and expand the, player base or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Lots of cool stuff. Like, he just had a good philosophy.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And I feel like I said, it's just kind of, you have to sort of take people at what you can glean from, mm-hmm. you know, the things they say in public and just what their general demeanor is. But he just seemed like a really nice guy whose heart was in the right place, even as the, like, the president of what, like, by the height of the Wii era, Nintendo was the largest Japanese company. Like, they were the biggest financial thing in that whole nation.
They were, it's not a big nation, but yeah, they were a juggernaut.
I don't know. It's really impressive. More people, I think, should be like Satoru Iwata, especially the ones that run large companies.
Yes.
But yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see, like, who succeeds him or, mm-hmm. like, if they kind of follow the same path that he's sort of laid out.
Hopefully.
For the future. Because I think they're, and this is like, I mean, it obviously that stuff will have to be answered soon. Like, it almost feels bad to speculate it now because he just passed. And,
yeah,
like, I'm sure everybody there is reeling, and, like, obviously his family and stuff are, mm-hmm. will be super devastated for, you know, many years to come.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, as far as who heads up day-to-day operations or whatever at Nintendo, mm-hmm. I think, because right now I think it's technically going to be split between Miyamoto.
Mm.
And I forget the name of the other guy, but he's, like, their head of, like, hardware and R&D or something.
Is it Aonuma?
No, he's, like, the Zelda guy. He's
well,
the head.
I know that. I know
it's not him. It's somebody else.
He heads part of
it's a name R&D. That did not seem familiar to me when I read it. So the other stuff that I'd read, it seems like he's been there in, like, a sort of, like, hardware and general, like, high-level functions of Nintendo for a very long time.
Because I know it's not the Game Boy guy, because he recently passed too, didn't he?
No, that was quite a while ago. That was, like, the 90s.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gunpei Yokoi, he got hit by a car.
Oh.
About the same. He was, like, 56, so he was, like, the same age, basically, that Iwata is now. Another bummer. Yeah, because he wasn't at Nintendo at the time. He had just left.
That's
right. He was
making
the Wonder Swan.
Yeah.
That other weird thing. Yeah, another tragic... Bust a guy too soon. Yeah, but even that stuff, like, kind of... If you're talking about, like, the recent Nintendo stuff, like, the stuff that Iwata proposed and, like, kind of helped Nintendo bring to market in terms of boxed products, like, now that you mention it, that stuff was kind of in the Gunpei Yokoi wheelhouse of, like, let's make a thing that can house fun experiences, but is not necessarily the most, like, bleeding edge or most complicated device.
Yeah, that's never been...
Because the Game Boy was the start of that, really, for Nintendo. Like, the NES wasn't... I don't think the NES was underpowered for its day, but it certainly wasn't, like, the...
Top of the market.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't, like, the fastest, most impressive computing device that you could get your hands on. But the Game Boy, when it came out, was specifically, like... This thing is not, like... It's got a crappy, like, black and white screen, and it's, like, a... It can run really small, like, tiny games... Like, the amount of life that they got out of a device like that, with like especially with, like, ultimately games like Pokemon and stuff that ended up being crazy complex.
Yeah.
That's a testament to every, like, that is the, like, the large-scale testament to Nintendo's design philosophies. Mm-hmm. We will make content
usability
that is...
Usability and robustness over cutting-edge
tech. That is
tech.
Immeasurably impressive. Like, so much so that you don't even, like... The thing that you're playing it on melts away. Like, you're not even thinking about, like, the platform that you're interfacing with.
Device
it's just
doesn't
the experience
matter.
That you're having. Yeah, that's a like, a magic that I think pretty much every one of their games, like, to this day, has in, like, you know, varying amounts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, like, people, whether, like, people who are have been big fans of games for a while are going to be reeling for a little bit. It's going to be real weird. Nintendo's always been the thing, man. It all comes back to them on some level for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely even if for us, I think, I can say.
Yeah, and, like, our immediate, like, friends and other game players.
Yeah. Make stuff that you cared about, like, that you, I mean, that we all still care about, but, like, it's... They made games that didn't... Because, like, when... With movies and stuff, sometimes it can be, like... It's interesting, because it can be slightly more, like, in your face, and maybe a little more manipulative, like, the way that you get emotional attachments to stuff.
Well, it's because you're seeing how the cinematographer or director... You're seeing what they want you to see.
Sure.
It's a very directed and closed tour of a world and a story.
Yeah, because, I mean, the things I'm thinking about specifically are we recently saw Inside Out.
It was adorable.
Sure. And then, like, Up. Both of those were made by, mm-hmm. God, what's that dude's name? He's the one Pixar, you can look it up if you like. He's the one Pixar director that I always forget. I love both of those movies. They're both really good. And I totally want to see Inside Out again. Yes. We've obviously seen Up a couple times because it's been out for,
It's got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Some number of
years. But the thing about those is, like, the emotional parts are definitely, like, constructed. Like, mm-hmm. And that's the kind of like you were saying, it's kind of the nature of the medium of, like, here's the gut punch, but we made that gut punch to punch you in the gut. Whereas, like, the things that...
Pete Doctor?
Yes, that's him. Yep, thank you.
Okay.
But the kind of experiences that, like, the bonds that you forge when playing those classic Nintendo games, be it, like, a Zelda or a Mario or a Pokemon or a Metroid or anything else, like, part of it is what the game is, like, explicitly what the game is or what it's telling you mm-hmm. or, you know, like, what it's forcing you to do. And part of it is the part that you made yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the part where, like, oh, I've made that jump, finally, that I never could make. Or, like, I wandered around the Zelda world and I found it, like, it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, sitting in front of your TV, you feel like you're venturing into the unknown and you're doing something that matters. Like, those kind of emotional connections mm-hmm. that aren't explicitly part of the game design, but the ways the games can make you feel... like, special or different or, mm-hmm. empowered.
Some of my fondest, like, I guess you could say, like, entertainment memories mm-hmm. are, I could almost guarantee you, are 100% from games. Mm-hmm. Specifically where it was focused more on me interpreting something and, like, me getting attached to a character that I was playing as or whatever and experiencing it through them. And I don't know.
No, and like I think about
all of my Pokemon adventures are special. Sure. Every single Animal Crossing village is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like because it comes with different ways in different games. Like with Mario and stuff, it's kind of always been more about just like the metal, like mm-hmm. challenging yourself to complete the next task or whatever. But with stuff like, I feel like with JRPGs kind of specifically from like the SNES era and a little later, whatever. Like when you look back at those games now, they're pretty simplistic in terms of, like, the way they tell stories and stuff. But there's ultimately, like, the core is that, you get your pack of adventures together, and you do the right thing. Like, you overcome, obstacles or great evils or whatever. The
darkness.
The darkness defeats the light.
Generally. Yeah,
Destiny is basically, like... It's basically, like, a worse story than Final Fantasy VI. That's basically what Destiny is.
I could say that about a lot of games.
Sure.
It's a worse... telling. There are no elemental crystals, though.
I guess that's
no
true.
No summons.
No buckets.
There are wizards on the moon, though.
They should make it like a Destiny Crystal Bearers crossover where someone carries the bucket.
I still have not played that one.
Anyway, that game was fun.
I heard a lot about it.
Fun for what it was.
I started reading Nintendo Power around that era, so I saw a decent amount about that. Yeah, and like articles Crystal Bearers and stuff.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm.
A few of my friends played it at school and talked about it, but I never had it. I knew about that. Like, there's, like, one person carries the cup or whatever. Going out and getting, like, crystal juice or something.
Something like that.
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, anyway, the point... the point to me is that, like, that was the stuff... Like, you're at the right age to feel that way. About, like, it doesn't matter if it's, like, elaborate or wordier or, like, if the prose is that good or whatever. Like, if you tried to talk about it in, like, literary terms or something like that. The sentiment is correct, and the way the games work intrinsically is, like, you have agency in it, which makes it work, like, on another level that it wouldn't have by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are the hero, and this is, like, you feel empowered, you feel like you're doing a good thing by, like, helping these little digital people, like, solve their problems or save the world or whatever.
Yep. Reuniting the two worlds using the sword that Origin made.
Something like that.
Because it was ripped apart.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone's sister died.
And that's the part where you have to try to, like... Symphonia. I think where you, as an adult, you have to try to reconcile. Like, you have to find the middle ground between, like, being cynical about, stuff just being the same or, like, a repeat or being, like, just, like, too simple or whatever. And just kind of putting yourself back in the mindset of when you were, like, 8 or 12 or whatever.
Or never leaving that mindset.
Something like that.
Welcome to my life.
Mm-hmm. But just kind of like letting yourself go and being immersed by the fact that, just the intent and like the high level of execution is what matters. And like the little bitty details can fall away Mm-hmm. When there are like parts of something that are like compelling or earnest or, mm-hmm. you know, fun or that just kind of drive you emotionally in a way.
Interestingly enough, the wonderful channel Game Theory released a video this weekend of their just kind of like spinoff show called Deadlock, which is a debate. Like, it goes until like they've reached like a tie, which is always just like they have like a health bar and it gets down to 1%. So then they let like the viewers vote or whatever. And this time it was Pac-Man versus The Last of Us as video games as art. And no, it's very objective and like very top level. Like, it's looking at the games as a whole as opposed to not necessarily like personal values to it. Like, they do research beforehand and go in. It's not just a shouting match. Mm-hmm. But they bring up some of those points that you were mentioning, and I actually just watched it today. It was very interesting.
Are they comparing the games against each other, or is it more like just analyzing what makes them like
yes,
unique?
It's that.
That's okay. That makes a lot of sense to me. Because like when people say like video games are art, like of course they are, mm-hmm. but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to or even should compare one game against another.
They're looking at they are in a sense, but not in like the very like the way you would think of it when you're comparing like mm-hmm. two things as their and value. They're comparing them as like how they represent like video games as an art form, like talking
as opposed to like which one is the most art.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's kind of what I mean, because like it's trying to like that's like comparing like a Picasso or something to I don't know who's a like a Rembrandt? I'm not good with art, but I mean, like, it's like comparing abstract art to, like, mm-hmm. like life,
real, yeah.
like life
that,
paintings or
like,
something.
That was one of
They're
their
totally
main
different.
Points, is, like, Pac-Man is art
mm-hmm.
because it is pure gameplay. Like, there's hardly a narrative. It is like a score chase or whatever. Like, that's the main goal, is mm-hmm. to just keep playing or whatever.
Yeah, like old games of that era,
yeah.
like, it's a challenge thing. And, like, if you want to talk about
it... It's pure gameplay at that point.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk about it in terms of, like, art in the sense of, like, as a visual medium or whatever, mm-hmm. it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of a simplified... It's just, like, it has really simple shapes that are, like, mm-hmm. iconic. And, like,
it's
you,
all
they resonate
about, like,
with you.
Forms and, like, shapes, colors.
Mm-hmm. It's immediately,
stuff.
Like, you can see it for 5 minutes and mm-hmm. then... Like, if you play it for 5 minutes and then walk away from it, like, anytime you see it again, mm-hmm. like, you know that that's what that is.
Yeah.
It has a lasting, like, a staying power, mm-hmm. kind of gets in your head. Yeah.
And then from there, like, the counterpoint of, like, The Last of Us, it's, like, it's got such a deep narrative, it's got a very,
yeah, it's complicated.
Like, it's a very, like, pretty believable world, the characters are very real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just, like, The Last of Us is a... beautiful game.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it does all the things that, you know, like, an Inside Out or an Up or any mm-hmm. other Hollywood movie has to do.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, it has to be a video game. Mm-hmm.
And I still, even though I didn't play it and watched you play the entire thing, I would still say that the game aspect of it might not be its strongest point. It's definitely solid.
I don't think, like, I think if that was just what it was,
yeah.
like, if you stripped out, like, the story and, like, mm-hmm. how well acted all the characters are and stuff, I think I agree with you. It's not the thing.
You're not necessarily there for that.
Yeah, it's not the thing that shines in that game. Yeah. But the part about the gameplay that is impressive to me is that, like, relative to the other Naughty Dog work, I do think it was more interesting. Like, I think
yeah.
it was a step up in terms of, like, strategy and functionality from, like, the Uncharted stuff.
Yeah.
That's my biggest bummer with Uncharted 4, is that, like, I, on top of being, like, a really impressive, like you said, like, narrative...
world.
A really impressive piece of fiction. I do think The Last of Us, like, combat and stuff evolved beyond the point that Uncharted had reached previously, and the next Uncharted game is kind of just another one of those.
Yeah.
Like, hide behind cover, shoot dudes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have, like, the weird stealth mechanics or, like, the crafting or...
Yeah.
Throwing bricks at people.
Or bottles.
Or bottles.
Only one, though.
Pipe with scissors on it.
Because I always thought that was, like, the most interesting part of watching the gameplay was, like, how it was a puzzle. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, those encounters were all built to, like, I mean, if you want a brute force and just, like, especially
you
if you're
die.
On lower difficulties
yeah.
or whatever, where, like, your health is a little more robust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you just want to bust in and shoot your guns until everyone's dead, like...
You probably could.
That would probably work out for you. But on... Either on higher difficulties, or if you just want to kind of, like, maintain a more even, like, if you don't want to constantly be on edge or like being near death or whatever. Like each of those encounters is kind of built out to where there's, you know, a path or two where you can kind of like, I can take this guy out this way and then this guy out this way and kind of work my way through this area. Or I could just like
get around them completely if I don't need to take everyone out.
Yeah, exactly. Like this guy looks like I can dodge, and then the next one I can like, you know, choke out or whatever, like, so I can take him out silently. And then, yeah, there was more going on gameplay wise in that game than there was in, say, Uncharted. But yeah, I think that's the thing that Nintendo has always had, and like, it's not going to go away overnight or anything.
No,
but it's going to be an interesting transition.
Yes,
like they've always strived for the magic in a more earnest way than I think the other like big entertainment company that you would think that would apply to is Disney probably.
Mm-hmm.
But in Nintendo, I truly feel that it's like a slightly more earnest. Like
they
mean it more than
they
like
believe
when
it
Disney
more.
Talks about Disney magic.
Yeah, because that Disney magic is the money.
It's the ESPN and.
Yep.
17 other things that are...
LucasArts, Marvel.
And that's not to say that there aren't, like, individual creative people who feel that way about
company
all those
whole,
individual
though.
Things. Like, all those properties or whatever at Disney.
Yeah.
But I do not get the impression that from the top down, there is passion for the things that people do at Disney in Disney. And that is always the sense that you got from, like, you know, Iwata and Miyamoto. Mm. You felt like they cared about the end product
what they
more
were
than
doing.
Your average executive ever would.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they cared about the experiences that they were making for people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's gonna be weird. But stuff like this is always just like there's no like bright spot to it. Like that said, it just takes time to like
it's a fact.
Yeah, exactly. It takes time to feel better about eventually. Just time wears away that stuff. But
time heals.
Like
all
when somebody like really impressive and earnest gets kind of just like sucked out of the world like that, there's nothing that quite replaces them. Everybody who appreciated what they did, like we all just have to pick up a tiny piece,
pick up the torch, and
collectively
keep going.
Put together enough. We can keep that sentiment going for someone else after we're long gone. But in the immediate moment, there's an emptiness that is not going to be filled. You got anything else? I don't know if I can...
I don't know.
I'm not sure, although we might make this a shorter episode, because I don't know where I can bring myself from... Like, I don't know where I can transition to emotionally from that. Like, I had some new release stuff up, but I mean, like, that list is a little old.
And it's also summer. Nothing super important is coming out.
That one game we bought, that J-Stars game, is out.
Yay.
We should boot that up. Maybe we'll play that tiny bit tonight.
Anime.
More anime. Yeah, I don't know. If you got nothing else, I might just read a couple names and then call this a shorter show.
Probably nothing too specifically.
Nothing comes to mind?
Not really.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
We'll have another show with more people.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we'll probably do another thing at Gen Con this year, and it might be the next thing we put up.
I think it's probably expected. I think Kyle would be very sad
because
he missed the first one.
Yeah.
And it's like anniversary.
Our 1 year anniversary. We did our first show at Gen Con.
That show?
Yeah, it was a mess.
My land.
I mean, they've become slightly less of a mess since then.
They're at least more structured
in
a sense. We still ramble a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we just did it to do it. I hadn't even tested the equipment at that point. That was the other part that made
tested
it a mess.
Tested it that night.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you just got to rip the Band-Aid off and do a thing.
Yep.
So that's what we did.
Woo!
I'm going to read a couple more names from our Kickstarter list.
Read the right column.
As I pull the computer closer to my face and try to talk into the microphone at the same time.
I believe in you.
Very special thanks to some of our Kickstarter backers, including Alfred J. Dutcht.
Woo!
Jordan.
Woo!
Robin and Tim. Do you remember? I know how
Thiveridge.
To pronounce their name. Huh?
Thiveridge, I'm pretty sure.
Thank you.
It's very close to that. I'm sorry,
that,
Robin.
That sounds correct. That's what it looks like. I wasn't positive how to say it, but hearing you say it, that's exactly what it looks like in this Excel document. And I think that's going to do it. I'll save the rest for later. I'll save some more for later.
Woo-hoo!
Those aren't the only ones we have left, but also still some people didn't fill out surveys. If you're out there, if you hear this, give us your information. We'll be following up with you in email form soon anyway, so it might not matter.
Help
but
you.
You're doing it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Back. And I think that's probably going to wrap it up. Like I said, it's just like thinking about all that stuff takes it out of me a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
I need time to recover.
Especially after watching his keynote.
Yeah, like stuff like that, and I like doing...
Because, I mean, like, he looks so young.
Yeah, and it's nice to have to do that.
And he's adorable. He's always been adorable.
Mm-hmm. But you have to put yourself, like, you have to... I feel like when you lose somebody, whether it be like, you know, a public figure, like kind of a WADA that you were really invested mm-hmm. in, or somebody who was really close to you, like one of the best things that you could do, and it hurts the most at that point mm-hmm. too, but like ultimately it helps the hurt, is to like, you know, find an old video or some old mm-hmm. pictures, or just go talk to somebody else who kind of knew them in the same way that you knew that person. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes their life real.
Yeah.
In like a gut punch kind of way. Mm-hmm. It lessens the pain overall over time. But like, yeah. just seeing like how much they kind of like
yeah.
their little mannerisms and how much they add to the world, and just mm-hmm. like recognizing within yourself that that's kind of gone now in a, like a visceral way, where you can mm-hmm. go from in the age of the internet or whatever, where all this is archived digitally, you know, you can see someone in their prime, at their peak or whatever, you know, doing the thing that made them special. Yeah. And then you know that that's not around anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll make it through, you know, for as long as we all can. But yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody
Nintendo, in Nintendo, in the Iwata family, everyone he, like, literally everyone he touched.
Yeah, and yeah, and all you other people who just play video games, who are going to play video games that are slightly less awesome now that he's going to be involved with fewer of them, we'll make it through. So that's going to do it for myself, for Lorraine Ferriullo. We'll be back with more shows in the future. We will keep working on video games, and they'll be on Nintendo platforms for as long as we can manage.
Yep.
We'll do what we can.
Fact.
We'll see you guys later.
Woo!
Bye-bye.